Shalom, Adonai, Mishpachah, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and best friend, Sheila Crawford.
Yes, Shalom, Adonai, Mishpachah, which means peace to our family of the Lord. So glad you could join us tonight. So much is happening.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is, and we want to remind our listeners that all of our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministries.net, a wealth of knowledge that we hope you will share with others.
Yes, definitely tell a friend about this unique time of deeper Bible study as we are continuing in Matthew 24. But first, let us ask God for his blessing.
Okay, Abba Father, we thank you for your Son, who saved us from our major disease called sin. We highly praise you as we lift up to your throne these written prayer requests that I now hold in my hand, especially those with rare diseases and all forms of cancers. We also pray for the many Christians who are suffering persecution around the globe. Please continue to pull at the heartstrings of our loved ones while sharing your divine protection over our children and grandchildren. We ask for favor in our finances, and may all our burdens be light. And most sincerely, Lord, we recognize that we are nothing without you, but with you we can do all things according to your will, as we stand on the promises of your word, knowing that you are coming soon. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen for sure.
Okay, do we have time for some news?
Well, a little that, of course, you might not hear with any extensiveness.
That surely is Israel.
Mm-hmm. First of all, there was a rumor that Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, would probably resign if indicted for taking expensive gifts for favors.
You know, that's been a two-year-long investigation, but I think it's called corruption, isn't it?
It is. And with that said, however, a major war in Syria would put any indictment on hold, which since Saturday has heated up immensely. Israel demonstrated its ability to defend its skies after being provoked, and that's by an Iranian drone that entered Israel's airspace and was shot down. Then Israel sent in a plane to bomb the base in Syria where the drone was launched. But on its way back, that plane was shot down, but the two pilots were ejected before it crashed. So they did not die. Anyway, that's when Israel retaliated again by directly striking more bases, which were a combination Iranian-Russian bases in Syria, and destroyed about 12 military sites, they say, and this was all surrounding the Damascus area, which, of course, leaves Damascus much more exposed to future attacks.
You know, and we know by Isaiah 17, Damascus, the capital of Syria, will become a heap of ruins.
Yes, and you can also add that on Saturday, a Turkish helicopter was shot down by the Kurds, and a Russian plane was hit by the rebels fighting against Assad's Syrian army. So, this was a very significant day of fighting, where the IDF demonstrated the most impressive intelligence and strike capabilities. Everyone knows the Iranians are determined to build a military power in the Levant, and that means from Iran all the way to Lebanon. But Israel is determined to stop that from happening. Also, last Thursday, there was a military clash in Syria between the United States and some Russian mercenaries, where approximately 200 of them were killed. Interesting that the next day, three Russian diplomats visited Washington, and there's little talk about that.
Yeah. What reaction has been noted from Syria and Russia?
Well, apparently they say they don't want Iran in the area, but they're not doing much to stop them. So we're just going to have to wait and see what happens now. But I can tell you what some respected journalists are speculating, and we're just the messengers here. But they think that since Syria insists that the drone did not cross the line into Israeli airspace, that maybe this is just a false flag, an accusal to stir up fighting in the area to take the heat off of Netanyahu's serious government troubles.
Would Israel do that?
Well, I pray not. We'll see what happens, but as well, there is a discrepancy going on between Washington and Netanyahu, who said the Trump administration agreed with him over annexation of some of the West Bank, so to keep the settlements, but Washington is denying that claim.
Well, let's pray that they can work that out.
Oh, yes, Lord, may your will be done. Amen.
Okay, what about over here? Anything going on?
Oh, yeah, I think just a little. That is such a loaded question, too, because many sad things are occurring, like a major civil war between the Democrats and the Republicans. But at this point, President Trump looks right now like he will be coming out of this smelling like a rose, especially since the newest whistleblower, an ex-FBI, now informant, Mr. Campbell, is spilling his guts about the Uranium One deal. And this corruption occurred during the Obama administration when Hillary was Secretary of State and Robert Mueller was then the FBI director and who was supposedly also involved. But Fox News is covering all that pretty well, along with the Democrats' rebuttal memo to the Republicans' memo that came out 11 days ago.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, there's many meetings are going on in Washington.
Oh, there is. There's like an immigration bill trying to get through and intelligence meetings, congressional hearings, it goes, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Okay. We welcome your comments and you can send your end time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and be sure to leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are needed and very much appreciated. And we will include you in our monthly mailings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters are all archived for your learning pleasure.
Ta-da, my dear. Okay, so we are currently studying Matthew 24, which is amazing that in just one chapter alone contains a plethora of information. It's a book written with the future Jews in mind that are quickly saved at the beginning of the tribulation. Chapter 24 begins with a short prophecy soon to affect them, and that's the destruction of their magnificent temple, which was fulfilled a few decades later in 70 AD. Then Jesus gives some obvious but simultaneous signs to look for in the end days, emphasizing deception, not just in verse 5, but again in verse 11 and again in verse 24, as we will soon see. And he says that's really a number one priority to watch for.
Yeah, and you know, another word for deceptions, I think, is lying.
Ah, very true. And who is the father of lies?
Satan the devil, as it says in John 8:44.
That's right. We also covered the fact that the 144,000 Israelites will be preaching the gospel of the Messianic kingdom on earth and will go out to all the nations where the Jews, when the Jews flee south from Jerusalem to escape the Antichrist. This will happen at the midpoint of the tribulation as soon as they witness the Antichrist's abomination in the temple. And there he will also be demanding worship. Either that or their personal supplies will be cut off. Now, if one agrees to worship the beast, their mark, which most believe is a chip, will be honored and approved so they can continue to buy and sell.
You know, believe it or not, some are already getting a chip.
Well, yeah, we're hearing that. Because they want to familiarize the masses so it'll be easily accepted. And but the people are doing it now for various reasons, but it's not until the tribulation that people will have to worship Lucifer so to keep it actively working for survival. Right now, if you get the chip, it's not the same as worshiping, you know, the enemy. That's not happening right now. So, again, during the tribulation, they will have to bow down to the God of this world.
Yeah, that's already happening today as well.
That too, that's right. And you know what? On a much larger scale than we would even care to know. But we are seeing foreshadows right now of most everything that will be greatly excelled in the tribulation.
Yeah, you know, that's which is why we know we are close to hearing the last Trump call.
Amen. So, last week we confirmed in Revelation 12 that the Jews are leaving Jerusalem. Typically, it's called the woman fleeing into the mountainous wilderness to hide from the dragon who tried to engulf them with a flood. But we see that God will open the earth and swallow up the flood, and then the dragon will turn back to make war with the rest of the Jews up north, who also have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what it says. So again, more confirmation that at this point they are saved Jews. And by the way, did you pick it up? There is some typology of this Revelation 12 flood with the Red Sea crossing. Remember when the Israelites fled their enemies back in the book of Exodus? Well, anyway, I encourage you to study all that because the same plagues are described both in Exodus and Revelation.
And Moses does return as one of the two witnesses.
And Elijah being the other.
Yes. You know, God helped them from the plagues and escape in Exodus and will again in the tribulation.
Which is why, as I said last week, that God would lead them right back to where their ancestors were many centuries before, to the same area of the Sinai on wings of eagles, as Revelation 12:14 says. Because, after all, that same expression is used by God on the mountain when talking to Moses, reminding him how he had just bore them on eagle's wings to the wilderness of the Sinai.
Wow, you know, that's such great typology.
It really is. And you know, Paul says in Romans 15:4 that what has been written in the past is for our learning. So we see the same terminology in Revelation 12, and that certainly is a big hint that they're going back to the Sinai.
You know, it's sad to think of how many Christians don't even read the stories of the Old Testament.
Very. I also explained last time why I didn't think it was Jordan's Petra, for the obvious fact that God wants to supply all their needs, like he did before. Petra, as I saw with my own eyes, is too well equipped. Even has running water, electricity, stored grain with caverns carved into the mountains. But this time, they will stay true. And like Joshua before, now Yeshua would himself take them into the promised land, into the millennial kingdom. By the way, Joshua and Yeshua are the same root name, both meaning salvation. So cool. Okay, so we finished last week in Matthew 24, verses 20 and 21. I want to read 21 first, and then we'll read 20. And it describes the last half of the tribulation. It says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." And in verse 20, it says, "Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath." And I said last week that I believed their flight would not be in the winter, but would actually be in the spring. And for sure, not on a Sabbath, but more likely on a Sunday. And this week I'm going to tell you how I came to that conclusion. First of all, Jesus would not say to pray for something if it was impossible to happen. Okay? And second of all, we know Satan is a counterfeit and often mirrors the things of God in Christ. As God has his children who are followers of him through Christ, Satan, too, has his followers, and during the tribulation, it will be through the Antichrist, or at least in the beginning. So God marks us with the seal of the Holy Spirit and will also mark the 144,000 in the tribulation. We read in Revelation 13 that the Antichrist will mark those who follow him. And as God has the Trinity, Satan, too, counterfeits the Trinity with his false prophet and the Antichrist. And I could go on and on. There are many more, but I think you get the picture. So, okay, knowing that, there was only one day when Jesus walked this earth that he allowed the people as a whole to hail him as king. That was on Palm Sunday in the spring, actually on Nisan 10 on the Jewish calendar. So, why Nisan 10? Well, because that is when God told Moses to pick the lamb back in Exodus 12, and they were to examine it for 4 days. Now, by researching Hebraic roots, I learned years ago that the day they picked the Passover lamb was a really big event, and they paraded the lamb that they picked from Bethlehem or the surrounding areas because these areas had the best and unblemished lambs anywhere else in Israel. Go figure. Anyway, crowds would march to the all the way to the streets of Jerusalem and then onward up to the temple. So, in Israel, when Jesus was there, he purposely chose that day, Nisan 10, which we call Palm Sunday because they waved the palm branches, to follow riding on a donkey. Now, this yearly parade showcasing the unblemished Passover lamb for the temple sacrifice was a big event. Again, that was the only time they hailed him, Jesus, as king. Called him the Son of David, which is the idiom for the Messiah. And this fulfilled Zechariah 9:9, that their king would ride in on a donkey. Now, the Bible prophecy reading Jews, most of them didn't read prophecy, but those that did, knew the scripture well, and many after that believed in him. So, since Satan is a counterfeit, it is likely the Antichrist will choose this day to demand worship and defile the temple. Nisan 10, exactly 3.5 years into the tribulation, which also means that the tribulation will begin 3.5 years before, which on the Hebrew calendar is Yom Kippur, which also means Jesus will return exactly 7 years later, or 1260 days times 2 exactly, which again on their Hebrew lunar calendar is also a Yom Kippur, their Day of Atonement. Everything's a puzzle and it all fits. Okay, now let me also say, in all probability, that would have to probably be a year of Jubilee, which according to Revelation 25 begins on a Yom Kippur. I mean, I would think it'd be a Jubilee when he returns. So, it fits quite nicely to have the rapture 10 days before the start of the tribulation on the Feast of Trumpets, also called the Last Trump, which lasts for 2 days, so we don't know which day or even what hour it'll be. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:51 that it will occur on the Last Trump. And that's the idiom for Rosh Hashanah. We've talked about that many times, and if you're new to this channel, just go to my archives. You can learn it. Anyway, so what kicks off the tribulation? Well, it's the signing of the covenant of doom as prophesied by Daniel 9:27, which will include the dividing of Jerusalem, canceling the sovereignty that belongs to Israel since God miraculously won it back for them in the Six-Day War of 1967. Yes, on the seventh day of that war, it was theirs. That wonderful number seven. But they're soon to forego East Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. And that's when the final judgment begins. Now, of course, the good news is Jesus will take it back. Also in the seventh, but this time the 7,000th year, when he comes to rule and reign. And we, his wife and his queen, will rule and reign with him, according to Revelation 5:10. Okay, moving right along, that brings us to Matthew 24, verse 22, but I want to read 21 again, together with verse 22 for context. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Verse 22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Well, let me tell you how often I have heard this verse totally misconstrued due to not using the first principle to proper hermeneutics, and that is, scripture interprets scripture. I have actually heard teachers claim that this proves the tribulation years will be shorter than seven. Of course, that interpretation would contradict other scriptures and fall into the hands of the naysayers who insist the Bible is full of contradictions, which it, of course, is not. Verse 22 is referring to the daylight hours because the sun will be very hot, extremely hot. So those 24 hours will be mostly in the dark. But do we have scripture to confirm that? Of course we do. And I am going to read Revelation 8, verse 12. It says, "Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night." And there then is another one from the prophet Amos in chapter 8, verse 9. And it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God." And let me stop there and remind you that whenever you see the word "in that day," it always means after the rapture. Okay? So it says, "And in that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight." So, for the elect's sake, the daylight is shortened. Of course, the elect now, or in the tribulation, is the tribulation saints. That's the elect. And, of course, the 144,000. You know, Israel was called the elect in the Old Testament. And you can see that in Isaiah 45:4. Right now, we are the elect. And after we are gone, his new righteous will be the elect. So I just want to point that out because we're going to be looking at that again as we come closer to the end of chapter 24. Oh, my time goes by so fast, and I don't know how long we'll be in this chapter, but I'm not going to rush through it because every word is important. But let me ask you, are you the elect? You can be, but it has to be your choice. Is Jesus Lord over your life? Luke 21 says that you can escape all what's going to happen with just a simple prayer. But you must admit that you are a sinner. You must repent and invite him into your spirit. Let him have dominance over you instead of the God of this world. Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, I have a revelation for you. If it's not Jesus, it's Satan. There is no in between. And by the way, let me shout out to those that might be lukewarm. You better get your act together right away. Tithe your time in God's word. You need it for discernment and wisdom, because you're going to need it. We all need it right now, especially with all the false teachings going on out there. All right, let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing, and we get this from Numbers 6:22-27. Yivarekecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'yunecha, Yasa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's shalom. Anyway, till next time, Sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for our president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, they're going to prosper in all ways. You can read that in Psalm 122, verse 6. Stay well. Looking forward to being back again next week. Bless you all.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.